going on, everybody? Welcome into the Triple Play Fantasy Baseball Show, a proud member of Underdog Fantasy. And even though the season has started, remember, use promo code TRIPLE, like Bobby Witt hits probably every third day, and they will deposit, match your deposit, up to $100. So that's free money. They always got good stuff going on there. You can do pick 'em more or less. They have drafts going on. The NFL draft just happened, so make sure you check out Underdog for anything sports related. No D-Mendy tonight, but we got three of us to hold it down. I got below me one of the most recent visitors of PNC Park, Marty Tallman. What's going on?
Hey, Pittsburgh did not disappoint. Anytime you've heard that PNC Park is absolutely incredible, it's beautiful, it's breathtaking, everyone is telling the truth. It's a great park. And you know what? Shout out to the people of Pittsburgh. Very, very nice people. I live in the Midwest and there's a lot of nice people here, but no one has ever compared to how nice the people in Pittsburgh are. So shout out to that. Shout out to the Pirates. And Andrew McCutchen, unfortunately, pinch hit off the bench, bottom of the ninth, to tie the game. And he struck out to lose. So it was sad to see the Cutch go down like that. But yeah, beautiful park. I highly recommend. It's got to be in your top five to go see.
Marty, the people want to know, did you sit behind home plate and look out the views of the city?
Yeah, so we got there. I made sure we got there when the gates opened. I'll be posting this on Twitter for you guys who follow me. I went to the upper deck and I had Tyler take a couple good photos of me. And then I sat behind home plate for the actual game. So yeah, I have all the photos. Yeah.
That best view in baseball Marty has experienced. Art, LC, what's going on?
Just paused for the first time to look at some standings in my league's TGFBI. I climbed this week up to fourth in my league. Just so happens, three of the top 15 in the overall are in my league. Ryan Bloomfield, Ray Murphy, Joe Simon Rasmussen. Killing it in my league. I feel like that team's doing pretty well. Got to get past three guys who are doing really well so far. Other leagues, I'm trying to climb. I feel like I'm doing well on improving my teams this year, but some draft mistakes haven't been replaced. And when Duran comes up, hopefully my closing situation will be clarified in a few places. Otherwise, watching a lot of baseball, watching my teams. How you guys doing?
Is it me, or has this year been more of a grind 1 month in than most years? And I feel like a big part of it is because of injuries, right? You're having to find closer replacements. If a bat went down early, there are so many injuries that we have and guys that you spent early draft capital on. And a lot of these haven't necessarily been season-ending injuries. Yes, there have been the Spencer Striders. But a lot of these, and we'll go through the latest slew of injuries are like 4 to 6 week ones where you're kind of on the fence. Do I drop this person? If you're in a league that trades, do I try and trade them, or am I just going to hold tight on my bench?
Yeah, I came into the season and someone like Eduardo Rodriguez, he's on the 15, and then so you're holding him thinking he might come in week two, week three, then they transfer him to the 60. That happened to me in a few instances this year. And so the guys who you decide to hold, like I didn't hold Josh Young. I had him in a lot of leagues. I decided to move on from him recently, but I do hold, like I'm holding Bellinger and Suzuki in one league. I might have to move on. Hopefully one of them comes back. Darvish and Duran, these guys who you're thinking are going to come back, but one team, four bench spots were taken up by injuries. I've had weeks where five bench spots were taken up by injuries so far this year. So just trying to cobble together a lineup and, try to get players in every day has been really difficult.
Yeah, I tweeted, I think that yesterday or the day before, it's a lot easier to set your NFBC lineups when all of your players are injured. And I have Thomas and Bellinger and Suzuki all on the same team. So my outfield was whoever I could just cobble together. So we'll be helping you guys out if you're in the same boat as us with the FAB discussion later today. But yeah, it's been brutal. I agree. This month has been pretty rough.
And, you know, as I was referring to, not all have been long-term, not all have been elbow injuries that we've seen for pitchers. So going through some of the notable names this week of guys that have been on placed on the IL, Merrill Kelly, a lat strain. They said it's a matter of months, not weeks. It's expected to be 6 to 8 weeks. Those that placed the season under for his strikeouts are pretty happy. Don't know who did that. Tristan Casas, a rib cartilage fracture on the 60-day IL. They expect him to come back this season, but they can't put a timetable on that. Jesus Luzardo, elbow tightness on an underperforming Marlins team. You got to wonder if they rush him back. Obviously, they aren't in any rush to contend this year, hence by them putting Max Meyer in AAA and having him pitch maybe once a week. Cody Bellinger, fractured ribs, seems longer than a 10-day IL stint for him. J.B. Crawford, an oblique strain, likely won't be coming off the IL May 5th when he's first eligible. Blake Snell, a left adductor strain, that's likely going to be a multi-week injury. Zach Gallen, hamstring tightness, they are optimistic for his next start. Pete Fairbanks had an arm injury. They didn't go into more detail, but they said an MRI was negative, but no timetable on that. Brian Bayo, right lat tightness. No timetable for him. That's expected to be a little bit more than the 15-day IL. Cody Bradford, who we thought might be coming back from a back issue, turns out it's a rib fracture, and he's going to be out at least an additional month. And Lane Thomas, as Marty had referenced, a grade 2 MCL sprain. So there are a lot of names that we have to replace this week. Do any of those injuries stand out to you?
I will say about Pete Fairbanks, he has nerve damage in his hand, which that can be not that big of a deal, as we've seen pitchers come back in a week or two, or maybe his whole career could be affected. So to your point, we're in that like this weird up and like these timetables that we don't know what to do. Just overall with all those names, if someone's going to be out for more than a month or 6 weeks in a 15 team league, I'm cutting. And in an IL, I'm going to be dropping Tristan Casas. You know, in my 10-team league, like I can't hold on to him for that long. I don't know when he's going to come back. Like,
Marty, would you cut Blake Snell?
How long?
Let's say he's 4 weeks.
No, you have to hold on to him. Just because of the way pitching is. Yeah.
I agree with you on that. And on all points, the long-term guys, if you don't have the IL spots, you're cutting them like bait. But Blake Snell, you likely spent too much draft capital on. But on the flip side, he hasn't been playable this year. You know, if you've played him in any start, he's likely killed your ratios. He hasn't had a high strikeout outing yet, which, you know, he didn't have last year either. You know, he had a relatively high whip. I believe it was over 1.2. And we've seen regression hit really hard this year. So, I mean, that's a double negative that we got with Blake Snell. But Art, are there any injuries that are jumping off to you?
One that you didn't mention, Tyler Glasnow, left when he left the game yesterday, looked like just possibly a blister or a cramp. That would be a big injury to me. Luzardo, of course, was underperforming. So the elbow being an issue, that kind of makes you scared that he's out for the season. So that one's a pretty big one to me. Bellinger, the rib fracture, I'm hopeful. Like people said he looked like he wasn't experiencing much discomfort and that he felt like he could make the short end of the timeline return. But of course, it's a rib. You can't really swing a bat hard if your rib is hurting. So that could be extended. I'm holding on to him to see.
I am too.
Yeah.
My TGFBI team, I'm holding on to Belly. Lane Thomas too, until, you know, something else comes in down the pipe.
Give it a week. Yeah.
In Glass now, it was just cramping. So he should be fine.
That's why I didn't mention him. It was just cramping. Believe me, I have my eyes on him like a hawk.
It's because he's beautiful.
He is a good-looking guy, and for those that want to know a fun fact about Tyler Glasnow, he can do a backflip, which is impressive considering how tall he is. But
it is impressive.
Yeah, it's tough out there, and sometimes just Merrill having Kelly. A healthy team at this point.
Merrill,
Merrill Kelly, what are we going to do with I think anything under a 15 team, I think you hold, you know, until you get more news. But I think anything less than that, are you probably cutting unless you have infinite IL spots?
I would hold in 15. You're right. Anything else like that, I'm cutting, because he comes back and he's probably building arm strength back up and maybe going 2-3 innings. And Mike adds, and Hicks with side tightness says he's fine though. Something about these obliques. It's not about all the elbows injuries. It's just people
Hicks
don't have strong
after
cores.
9 strikeouts yesterday.
Jordan?
Is that who he's talking about, Jordan Hicks?
I believe so. Strikeouts yesterday? I don't think Aaron Hicks is significant enough to talk about.
I don't think so either.
No.
But, you know, one of the ways that you can offset these injuries is being savvy with streaming and looking ahead for 2 start weeks. So we're going to talk about some low-owned SP streamers for the week. And if you would start in a 12 or 15 team league, I want to give Marty credit for looking at this, our former 2-start pitcher guy. So, Marty, I'll start. What did you say?
I said I'm still recovering from being the 2-star guy.
Yeah, it sounds like you were in an addict going to rehab for it.
Well, I was.
The first one, Trevor Rogers, Washington at home, Oakland on the road. That's about as juicy a 2-start.
Yep. Yeah. So I'm going to be starting him definitely, obviously, in the 15 team league, and even in a 12 team. I think he's a good streamer. You go to his xERA on the year is 3.78. Over his 26.1 innings pitched, 20 strikeouts, and the walk rate 7.6. So that's not bad. The K percentage is fine at 20.2. It's a little bit lower than average, but he's going against 2 really bad teams and 2 good parks. So for me, Trevor Rogers is a fire up in 15 and 12 team.
Are you on board? Or are you deciding to be crazy today?
No, I'm on board. I'm just looking at him. I'm looking at his pitch mix. He's throwing his changeup more and his four seamer less, and his four seamer is really producing well, and the changeup's not producing well. I'd like to see him throw the four seamer a bit more as I look at his pitch mix right now, because it's weird, but you have to take this chance. He's pitched pretty well. He's got a 3.78 xERA, like Marty said. So you just go with it. This is streaming 101.
Don't be like me and sit Chris Paddock this week going against the White Sox and then the Angels. I know he didn't do great against the Angels, but watching him throw, get 10 strikeouts, no earned, with him on my bench, dude, that kept me up at night.
Marty, I would have done the same thing if it makes you feel better.
He stinks.
I dropped Chris Paddock last weekend.
Yes. It was the right move. The process, right? The process is more important than the results. So
I think it's too early to say just because they're playing X team that you're starting this pitcher, because the White Sox have won 3 in a row.
Yeah, but they're so bad. Tampa's not doing that great either, but to be fair, I was rendezvousing this weekend, so I don't know what the White Sox looked like. To be fair to the White Sox fans, maybe they are looking a lot better.
Andrew Benintendi has a 2 home run game and his only 2 home runs of the season.
That's not a fluke.
Prior to the last few games, the White Sox looked putrid. I mean, Eloy's back. I mean, that might be something that, like, he just got healthy. And he's hitting okay in the lineup. So they've got a few more professional hitters.
Don't forget, he got his first stolen base in the last week.
Who, Eloy did?
He got his first career stolen base.
I did not notice that. Okay.
Yeah. Hey, for those that drafted him this year, he's given you more steals than any other year combined. So
one.
Looking at the next guy, Yariel Rodriguez, pitcher for the Blue Jays. He has Kansas City at home and Washington on the road. Art, what are you doing with him?
Yeah, Yariel has not thrown 5 innings in any of his first 3 starts. The 2 starts that you have for him, what was that? Washington and who?
Kansas City at home.
Kansas City's not an easy start. Kansas City has a pretty good offense this year. Washington against right-handers. Let me see. Against right-handers, Washington is 12th in the league. So they're okay. I don't love this. He's not going to throw a lot of innings. I don't really think Kansas City is a start I want to take a chance on with how some of their players are hitting right now. I wouldn't really take a chance on this because I don't think he's going to get a win.
Okay. Marty, you feeling the same? Or
I do feel the same. I'm going to come up with a scenario where you would start him, and that's if you had Hunter Brown and Bailey Ober on the same team. So your ERA and WHIP's already screwed up beyond belief, and you need some strikeouts. He has a 28.8% K percentage. So the strikeout percentage is an 81st percentile. But other than that, yeah, there's nothing else there. So that would be the only way I would do it in a very specific, very deep league.
I'm a little bit higher on him. Obviously, I don't think he's going to give you a win, but I don't think he's going to blow up your ratios. And I think sometimes it's just going to be better safe than sorry. You play the long game. The next, Jameson Taillon, New York Mets on the road, Milwaukee at home. I'm going to fade him. He hasn't had a high strikeout total this year. I think this is his third and fourth start off the IL coming from back tightness. So still ramping that pitch count up a little bit. I'm fading for now. Maybe one of you guys can talk me out of it.
Taillon has pitched pretty well in his first two starts. I mean, he's had a pretty soft landing. The Astros are not hitting very well at all right now. And the other start he had was against the Marlins. So he's had a pretty soft landing coming in, but I don't think of the Mets. The Mets are dangerous. They have a lot of good hitters, a lot of good hitters that are starting to wake up. Milwaukee, as we were talking about before, one of the best hitters hitting teams in the league against right-hand pitching. And they're cranking it out. They're like fifth in the league this season against right-handed pitching. So it's not a great two start for me, but Taillon is pitching well. He's got a 1.69 ERA. I could see running it out there, just seeing if he's actually, cause he's looked pretty good, but it's a tough two start. Like Milwaukee's pretty good against righties, and the Mets, I think I like their offense this year. So it's a tough one, but like in the end, and definitely in a 15, I'd start him. In a 12, you know, it'd be a tough call. What do you guys think?
Marty's on mute.
Whoops. 15 team league. Definitely. 2.31 XERA over those first two games. He made it to at least the fifth inning in both of them. The Mets, it's one of the best pitchers' parks in baseball. And then unless the wind's blowing out in Wrigley, this might be ridiculous, but I'm actually excited to start him in my Glark League where I picked him up for like $6, $7, $8. If you don't need to start him in your 12 team, that's fine. And obviously if it's head to head, I would start him against the Mets. I'd probably sit him versus the Brewers.
Okay. You know what? You guys are a little bit more optimistic. 8 Ks and 2 outings so far. I just don't see as much swing and miss. I think the matchups are okay, but I would just like to see a little bit more from him, especially in a weekly league where your lineups lock on Monday. Mm-hmm. That first game against the Mets scares me a little bit. The Mets have been one of the hotter teams in baseball. So me personally, I would stay away. Bailey Falter, Oakland on the road, Colorado at home. Maybe if we reverse this, we're having a little bit of a different conversation, but Colorado away from Coors and Oakland at the Coliseum. What are you guys doing with him?
Falter's weird. Bailey Falter, that is. He's a weird pitcher because he doesn't strike out people. He doesn't really get ground balls, but he does a good job limiting his walks. So on the year, he has a 3.97 XERA, and that's over the 27 innings he's pitched. He has a 0.89 WHIP, so he's able to keep. He gives up a lot of fly balls, but you're right with the way that their the schedule lays out for the Pittsburgh Pirates. At Oakland away, which is great. The Coliseum's huge, and then Colorado is one of the worst hitting teams in baseball. Home, I'm going to be firing them up in any league that I have them. Not a 10, obviously, but a 12 and 15 for sure. I had to at least say something positive. I mean, I'm wearing a Pirates jersey, for God's sake. So, I had to at least say something there. But what do you think, Falter?
Falter's he is interesting. His fastball's been performing really well this year. And
wow, he's throwing it so much more than he usually does. He's
throwing it a lot. It's producing a 32% O swing, which is in 77th percentile. So, I mean, like, his fastball's producing pretty well for him right now. This is a nice line, a nice setup for him. And Pittsburgh's pretty good. These are winnable games for him. I think I would start him.
Yeah, and looking at Falter's pitch mix, that is interesting. He's throwing the four-seamer the most he's ever thrown in his life, and he's barely throwing his secondary, third pitch, secondary and tertiary pitches. So, and looking at his four-seam fastball, a .188 XBA. So, I mean, he's be able to do a lot with one pitch, which you actually don't really ever want to see, but because of the soft landing of the week, yeah, I would be firing him up.
We still talking about Bailey Falter?
Falter.
All right. Well, I was on board with starting him. So the next couple of guys will kind of go through a little bit quicker. John Gray, very nice guy. Just kind of putting that out there. He has Washington at home, Kansas City on the road, Marty. Yay, nay.
15, yes. 12 team, no.
Art.
Sorry, what were the teams again? I was trying to pull them up.
Washington at home, Kansas City on the road.
I'd sit him.
It was really...
He was thinking about it.
I'd sit him too.
You're digging deep. I didn't know this about... go ahead.
I was going to say, it's been weird with John Gray because they had him as a bullpen guy one day. And then he was on like 3 or 4 days rest, and then they had him start. To me, that shows that maybe they aren't giving him a long leash, that if he was to get hit hard in, you know, the first or second inning, then maybe they yank him after 3 or 4. So to me, that kind of limits the upside when somebody has a 2-start outing, that maybe he's last in rotation type of guy.
Yeah, that's actually really interesting. To your point, versus the A's, he pitched 5 innings, the Tigers 6 innings, and then last time out versus the Mariners, 4.2. But other than that, it was either 1 or 3 innings every single time. So that is something also to factor in. Maybe if you have more of a high-volume guy or someone you can trust in more in a 15-team league, you know what, I'm kind of stepping back from what I was originally thinking because of that. But if he's – last time he pitched was on the 24th, so he'll be on, you know, 5 or 6 days of rest. But yeah, I'm kind of wishy-washy on it now. I'm feeling weird. Someone tell me what I should do here.
I would sit him. Sit him until right. I think he's got
a 29% K percentage so far this year. So
that's really good. Is that because of his relief innings? No, I mean he struck out 9 versus the A's, and then 7 versus the Athletics. That's a good point.
So. And 7 versus 7 4 2/3 versus. So he could. This could be a K play with the innings, with the 2 starts, just a straight up K play.
It could be a K play, but I see an explosive outing coming. I mean, a 2.92 ERA, but a 1.46 WHIP.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, his WHIP or his ERA is double his WHIP. And I don't know. I just see the. What does Curlin say? They're a regression monster.
Yeah, going to eat him up. 5.30 xERA.
Yeah, either that WHIP has to come down to make that, or the ERA is going to go way up. Yeah,
yeah.
It could be a good K play if you need the Ks.
That could be. All right, Matt Waldron, Cincinnati at home, Arizona on the road. Art.
No idea. I don't screw with guys whose stuff might be in like the next county over that day, just randomly. Like, knuckleballers are not trustworthy fantasy pitchers to me. So I don't ever use them.
Marty.
Yeah, I'm completely with Art. I mean, the best thing he does is limit hard contact. But he still has a 1.44 WHIP, and the strikeouts, they're not there. So it's a no for me.
It's a no for me, dog, too. Next guy, Joe Boyle, Pittsburgh at home, Miami at home. Marty, what you doing with him?
So Joel Boyle, the ninth best prospect for the Oakland Athletics, 4.31 xERA over his 21.2 innings. He has 24 strikeouts, but the WHIP 1.80. He's not walking people. He just gives up so many small hits. Like he limits hard contact, but he's always giving up kind of these ticky tacky hits. So I'm going to be honest, in my TGFBI league where I'm struggling for pitching, although I am in the top 10 overall and winning my league, struggling for pitching there because he's going Pittsburgh at home. I love that. And Miami at home. I'm going to be starting Joe Boyle in a 15 team league, but that's it.
Marty, it's interesting. Something in my gut just says he's a good play this week. But when you look at it, I mean, a 1.8 whip, and he's had 5 outings this year, and he's given up 4 walks in 3 out of those 5. That's a lot, 4 walks. But something in my gut just says that he's going to be a good play. And nothing spectacular, but, you know, his best game, you could say, arguably this year, at Detroit, 5 innings, 2 hits,
yes,
0 earned, 3 walks,
game.
6 days.
I saw that. I saw that in person, so maybe that's why I'm even leaning more towards him because he looks so dominant, dominant at that part. I'm for him.
But even at the next game, 5 innings, 5 hits, 1 earned, 1 walk, 5 Ks. Like I could see that type of line for both games where he's not going super big into innings. Maybe 5 hits or 5 innings, like 2 earned, 5 Ks, and maybe gets a win. Oakland hasn't been as bad as everybody has thought this year. Art, what about you?
Miami is always a good play. And Pittsburgh's good. They're not like you have to avoid Pittsburgh type of play. He's got a 16% walk rate. Could crush your I'd probably would stay away from it, but It is something if you're like chasing volume again, but he just walks so many. He's not like a huge strikeout guy, like 23%. Yeah, I think I'd just stay away.
I want to revisit this next week. The last two I'm going to assume are no unless one of you say yes. And if one of you say yes to this guy, I know that you have some sort of bias for Carlos Carrasco at Houston, Angels at home. Fading, right?
Yeah, I'm fading him. I just want to put him on there because, you know, shout out to Carlos Carrasco. Over, you know, he's been through cancer. He's 37
still
years
going,
old.
Man.
Still going. Still
going. Proud father.
XERA, too.
Proud father.
So, yeah. he's a no. They're both a no for me, for sure.
Yeah. Art Griffin Canning, that's a no for you, too.
I want to believe, but I don't believe anymore. Like, I really was big on Canning coming into the season. And I think there's a good pitcher under there somewhere. No, we just haven't seen it yet this year.
I mean, he plays Philly. Probably two of the toughest matchups that you're going to have. Two teams that have been really hot. So, and the Guardians' best record in the AL. So, yeah, I think even in a 15-team league, you're staying away from those guys. About a month into this season, I think there's a pretty good sample size on players both underperforming and overperforming. And just kind of going through a couple, I want to know your level of concern if they would be guys that you trade for. You know, maybe in shallow leagues, if these are guys that you're cutting. And the first one's a little bit of a surprise because I feel like Randy Arozarena has been somebody that we have talked about being a safe pick for a while. You know, 252 between that and 265 batting average, 20 home runs, maybe close to 20 steals. You know, good counting stats in the Rays lineup. But I'm looking at his stats this year: 3 home runs, 9 RBIs, 4 steals, batting 154, a 228 OBP. He just looks lost at the plate. If you're a Randy Arozarena owner, what are you doing with him?
There were signs last season that Randy was starting to regress a little bit. His zone contact was way down last year. And he had a tough second half. I think he had a tough second half, and his own contact was way down. So I thought, like, he was a play if you needed speed, but I thought he was a tough one to use to go where he was going. I thought he was going a little high from where he produced last season. I'm worried about Arozarena. I'm worried about him. I think that, yeah, he had 220 in the second half last year. I'm worried that, you know, there's been some regression of skills and we're going to just see like a lesser player now. There's still power in the bat. Let's see. Is his...
Well, I mean, Art, to your point of power, hard hit percentage down from 48 to 37.5%. Mm-hmm. Barrel percentage down from 12.3 to 6.9%. The launch angle's up a little bit. Probably the only thing I can say that you hope is going to turn around some, he has a 188 BABIP, and for his career, it's at 323. But the K rate up from 23.9 to 28.1 this year, and the walk rate's down about 3.5%. So besides the BABIP, which I think shows hopefully some signs of positive regression, I mean, he's taken a considerable fall off, and he's only 29 years old. This isn't something necessarily where age has caught up with him. Marty, what do you think?
Yeah, it is one of those ones you can kind of go either way, but the way I'm leaning, I would buy him. Now, I would buy him in a way where you're not going to be giving up a third round pick, which is what he was going in 15 team leagues, or a fourth or fifth round pick in 12 or 10. But I think that because of all of the factors you mentioned, I think he you can get him for a good price. And looking at his home runs, so in 2022, he had 20 home runs. In 2023, where his hard hit percentage, his hard hit balls were through the roof compared to most things before that. But yeah, last year, 23 home runs. So let's say if he's an 15, 18 home run guy with 20 stolen bases, I think that's a great point about his BABIP. That's the reason why I think his batting average will get to 250, 240 by the end of the year, which is serviceable with this current environment. So I think if you can kind of curb your expectations and kind of look at his rest of season projections, you're probably looking at somewhere between 15 to 20 home runs on the high end of with the 20, maybe 10 more stolen bases. So
you 15 to 20 more home runs.
I think he's good for 15 more.
So he's at three. So like 18 on the season. Yeah.
I mean, he had 23 last year, 20 each of the 2 years before. So it would be a slight drop off. I'm with you. I think he's a buy low guy. And I think it depends on what you give up. I don't think you give up the farm for him. But I think in a trades league, it depends on how panicked the owner is. And once again, with all the injuries that we've talked about, do they need somebody that's performing now that you could do a sell high for him? So I think a lot of this is going to be context matters. The next guy, I just want to know if you would cut in a 15-team league or not. Andrew Vaughn, on the season, 0 home runs, 5 RBIs, 2 of those RBIs coming in the last 7 days, though, where he's hit 208. He does have a steal, but for the season, he's hitting 167. 15-team league, cut or no?
He's a bench for me, not a cut yet, but I'm not playing him.
I mean, what is there available?
But he's not helping you out in anything. And the White Sox have a bad lineup, like we've talked about.
So yeah, God, I thought.
I mean, what would you expect though? Like, if you're saying what else is available, mm-hmm. what would you say is the best outcome for Andrew Vaughn at this point?
He's not. He has 2 barrels on the season. His barrel percentage is way down. Yeah. His hard hit percentage is way down. Ks are up. I think that I believe in Andrew Vaughn's as a hitter, as like a decent major league hitter. And he's put up, 250 plus XBAs the last few seasons. But the power hasn't progressed. And I think what we're seeing right now is like a cold stretch where like it's coming at the beginning of the season. I don't think like he's a, you have to hold him type of guy, because I don't think that he's a super high ceiling type of guy. But I think, like Ty France is coming out of a slump right now and starting to hit home runs. And I could see Vaughn doing like Ty France is doing. And Ty France looked kind of lost the first few weeks as well. But I believe in Vaughn. I'd drop him for if someone made a juicy drop. I don't think you're going to like super regret dropping Vaughn because I think the ceiling is not huge.
So I am poo-pooing Vaughn. He actually had a better year last year than I thought. 21 homers, 147 runs plus RBIs. I want to say that he's kind of a bust for being the third pick in the 2019 draft. I think this is a guy that needs a new change of scenery. I'm not willing to kick the can on his career yet. I mean, he's 26 years old, but it's definitely not as promising as we thought. And obviously the organization has not done anything to help him be in a position to succeed. But I think for redraft purposes, barring a trade, he's somebody that you cut 10, 12, and maybe a first cut in a 15-team league. The next one I think is really interesting. Paul Goldschmidt. There were some talks that, you know, he changed up his batting stance a little bit, that, you know, he's a former MVP winner, that, you know, how could you do worse than last year? And it's not looking good. 214, two homers, 11 RBIs, and the Cardinals kind of just seem to be in no man's land right now. They demoted Jordan Walker recently. That's another prospect that is kind of looking like bust potential. You know, Tommy Edman has been out to begin the season. Nolan Arenado, the power hasn't been there either. This is a team that looks really lost with their identity right now. If you're a Goldschmidt owner, what are you doing?
I think I'm holding. He has hits in six of his last seven games, including two hits and three of those. So it looks like he's starting to turn it around. And I think the Cardinals as a team are starting to turn it around. Because I think they're starting to win a few more games. I'm holding on to Goldschmidt, but I think the ceiling is lower. My view of his ceiling is lower.
Yeah, I would try to trade him if you can in a league where someone's going to buy him on his, you know, name recognition alone. I mean, he is 36 years old. I mean, this is about the time where even the best hitters of all time, they start to drop off. His barrel percentage is 4.7. He's striking out a career high 30% of the time. And when I say career high, it's 7% higher than last year. So he's struggling at the dish. He's not seeing the ball. He can't keep up with the fastballs. I don't think his career is over by any stretch of the imagination, but that resurgence that he had after a tougher 21, 22 season, I think this is the Goldschmidt that's going to be here moving forward. I think he'll bat probably around 240, maybe get you 20 home runs. So try to trade him if you can.
Marty, it's funny. This is somebody that I was thinking about buying low on for name recognition because he was a fourth round pick in a lot of 12 team drafts. And then I did a little bit more research and I thought, is this somebody that I actually really want to make a trade for? I look at last year, 154 games. Do you think at 36 years old, he's only going to miss eight games? He had 11 steals last year. He has one this year. And you can't even say the BABIP is bad. The BABIP is 306. It was 327 last year. It was 368 the year before. So it's probably regressing a little bit to the mean and where it should be. But, I mean, besides Wilson Contreras, I don't think you can say any Cardinals hitter is outperforming expectations right now.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I mean, Contreras has been up and down with his injuries this year. But, yeah, the Cardinals are kind of what they were last year. And it's an aging team with a lot of money on the books and a lot of big names that aren't performing to what they used to, which is pretty normal. But for fantasy, I think the best days of Paul Goldschmidt are over, and I think he's going to be an average player. You know, a starting. You know, you're going to put him in your corner infield spot in the 15 team league and try to train him anywhere else.
I want to put this out to kind of show the drop off in power because I think for first base, that's a position that you correlate with having some pop. Right now he's slugging 296. The lowest slugging percentage of his career was last year at 447. That's a huge drop off. And his expected slugging is 375. So even if you're going to use that metric, that's still a big drop off from last year. but
yeah, his ISO is way down. I was just going to point out there's a few rest of season projections, and the rest of season projections still have him at 18 to 21 home runs. They have him hitting over 250. They have him getting the strikeouts back in order and having a 173 ISO like last season rather than a 082 ISO. So do you guys think that the projections are just taking the last few seasons' recent history too much, or is this season outweighed? You guys think that the projections are too rosy?
For me, it would be – so if you look back on – projections historically, they build off whatever happened, you know, the year or two, 3 years before, depending on which projections that you're looking at.
Yeah.
And projections in themselves, because they are conservative, they won't, you know, drastically change because of 4 weeks of – in other words, I completely understand why the projections are a little bit rosier. But I think he's going to be like around a 20 home run guy, and that's what the projections think. And I think that is rosterable in the 15 team NFBC leagues that we play in. But anywhere else, like I said, you got to trade him.
Yeah, you can't drop him. You can't drop him. I think a 12, he's still going to be a corner, at least in a 12 team. In Marty's 10 team league, you might. Think of.
I'm gonna see if him. He's still right. Yeah, you know, he's still rostered. He's
still rostered. No one's given up on Goldie this early.
So here's my thing, and coming from somebody that does a lot of season over unders, and by say over unders, 99% of them being unders, I think projections are a good tool, just to see where some of the people that are way smarter than me have it. But I think the eye test, and I speak for myself, and Marty and Art, you guys watch a lot of baseball as well. I think sometimes you can just look at someone and you can see that the power is gone or that their play has fallen off drastically.
Yeah, and sometimes it's just Miguel Cabrera. Yeah. I watched it in real life and you knew. Yeah.
Yeah. And I use this, just to say that I think sometimes they take out that human factor, the projections, they don't look at team success. They don't look at, kind of the mental toll. I mean, look at how many games Goldschmidt has played in his career. Obviously you could use that as a catch-22 where, hey, he's had slumps before and he can get out of it. But probably the longer that he's played and the more that he's, I don't want to say failing, but falling off now, that probably makes it that he's thinking more at every at-bat that he needs to get a hit or that he needs to sell out for power. So he's just somebody I don't feel good about. Last guy I want to talk about, if you're buying low on, and I wish David was here because this is a guy that you guys disagreed a lot on before the season, Bo Bichette. The Blue Jays have been underperforming as a team. Vlad Jr. has gotten a lot of slander on Twitter, rightfully so. He just does not look the same. Looks like that 2021 is an anomaly. But Bo Bichette for the year, 208 average, one homer, 19 runs plus RBIs. I think the thing that you can say is working for him right now, he has 3 stolen bases when he had 5 of last year. And the last couple games, the Blue Jays have had him hitting leadoff. So what are your thoughts on him for the rest of the season?
I mean, I've been a fan of Bichette for a few years. I'm glad to see that he's running. I think he's going to pick it up. I think he's too good of a hitter to be this bad for the whole season. So I still believe in him. I'd be looking to buy low on Bichette if anyone wants to sell.
Yeah, I don't have him anywhere. And I guess there's reason for that. I guess I didn't believe in him in the third round in the first place of a 15-team league. But I've always wanted him on one of my teams. I think his XBA, is always through the roof. He's batting close or near 300. But when I go to look at why is he doing so poorly? And he literally cannot hit any type of pitch. He's struggling on the four seam, which he had an XBA last year of 339. This year it's 245. Sinker, 227. Looking at any type of cutter, if you can throw a cutter against him, he's batting one. He has an XBA of 153. So he's struggling against the sinker, sliders, four seams, everything. So that to me screams slump. You know, I think he's just you talked about the mental part of the game. Mm-hmm. The Blue Jays, they look like they're not doing well. They look defeated when you do watch the games in and out. So maybe it's just a first 6-8 week slump, you know, for the entire team, and Vlad gets back on track and Bo, you know, so he can get his runs going, because he's not going to score unless Vlad knocks him in. So I think it's a domino effect. I'm holding him if I have him anywhere, but it doesn't look good.
I'm just looking at his zone contact rate is at its career high at 90%. He's not swinging less often than he was, but he's hitting the ball less hard. So it sounds like he's just trying to make contact and put the ball in play and not hitting it hard. And it could be that's how he's like warming up for the season. There's been no indication he's running. I don't think he's injured. Yeah, I'm not worried about Bichette.
Right now he is a 244 BABIP. So, and I consider Doc the BABIP guy. He always, you nail it every time you bring up BABIP. And I think it might be one of those things. I mean, a 244 BABIP when last year it was 355, the year before that, 347, the year before that, 339, the year before that, 352. So in other words, the BABIP's killing him right now.
So let me ask you, where do you think out of 30 teams, Toronto ranks in runs scored?
I would say around 20. 21st, 21, 22.
Yeah, if I was just going to, they're not playing that well. They're not hitting that well. So, yeah.
Art, I want a number.
24. I'm going to go 24.
There are 26.
26.
Below them, Chicago, Oakland.
White Sox.
Yeah, Chicago, White Sox, St. Louis.
Oh.
And Colorado. Actually, no, Colorado has more than them. I'm sorry, Miami. So, besides the Cardinals, which I think is pretty surprising as well, that's bottom tier offense. I mean, we used to think of the Blue Jays as having one of the best, one through nine hitters, but H has caught up with Springer, obviously durability an issue with him. Vlad Jr., like I said, 2021 looks like an anomaly. They're having 37, 38-year-old Justin Turner hit fourth. You know, as much as we love some Davis Schneider is not somebody that should be your five hitter. I'm worried about the offense as a whole. And I think Bo Bichette does turn it around to some extent, but mm-hmm. I think if at the end of the season, we look at the total runs scored from the Blue Jays, it's going to be down drastically from where it was two or three years ago, which is where we're looking at Bichette's ceiling when he had 29 homers, 25 steals. Not a lot of guys have that, 25 upside, but I'm more worried about the Blue Jays as a team than I am with him. But that trickles down in terms of the counting stats. So I do think if you could buy low for him, that he's going to get better. I can't imagine that it gets worse, mm-hmm. but I don't know how much better it's going to get.
Yeah, I agree with you. Varsho's starting to turn it around. Jansen's healthy again. But yeah, Vlad and Springer. Vlad's been the most disappointing part, but their offense, it looks like they've let a lot of pieces go. I thought losing Belt was a big loss to this offense. He performed really well for them last season as a left-handed DH.
He's still a free agent, isn't he?
He's still a free agent, yeah.
He's just sitting out there. I mean, I saw, and I tweeted about this, Daniel Vogelbach was sitting in the four spot. I'm like, dude, this team's not serious.
Kirk, yeah, I mean, a lot of the guys have just not done what you've wanted them to do in their development. Kirk's hitting 167.
Hey, you guys you'll hear a bold take from me. I think the Blue Jays are going to tear it down some point soon. It doesn't seem like a good ownership group. I think two or three years ago was their opportunity to win it all. They lost Robbie Ray the year that he won the Cy Young. But, I mean, Gausman hasn't been the same this year. They didn't sign Vlad to a long-term extension. And I think that would – if they did, that would have been a sign that maybe they were going to be a little bit more serious and go all in. But to my knowledge, outside Gausman, they don't have any huge contracts. locked up out. I mean, Springer, but I think he has 2 years left after this one.
I think you're right about that. I do like their pitching staff on the whole. I think Berrios has been really good this year, and Bassett until the last start. I think he got hit around his last start pretty bad.
He's been hit around this year.
As I say Kikuchi, though.
Yeah, Kikuchi's been good.
I take it all back. You remember about 2 years ago, I said there's no way I would ever start him. I have him on nearly all of my teams.
Right.
He's the best he's ever been. He finally got a pitch mix that works. So shout out to him. Rest of the
team. And they just got Romano healthy. I think their bullpen held up fairly well when he was injured.
Perfect time for them to sell.
They're not going to sell. I think they're not.
Yeah. They're not. Very few teams are like, yes, we're going to sell and tank. Even the bad teams don't give up their players for pennies like you'd think they would. We're at about the 52-minute mark right here, so kind of just want to go through a couple segments of some guys that you could get in Categories League for cheap steals. Jose Caballero, Jacob Young, Johan Rojas, Javi Baez, Luis Garcia Jr., Joe Adell, who's not good at base running, and Tyler Wade. So I feel like steals are the ugly stepchild for hitting.
One, that's not fair to Joe Adell. He was safe on that play. Or are you shaking your head? You think he was out?
I'm shaking my head because of his base running decisions. Whether he's safe or out, I just think his decision making is bad.
There was a game,
I
forget who they were playing. It was the final out of the game. He ran and they called him out and called for the replay. And the replay appeared pretty clear that he was safe. But they were like, call on the field stands. I mean, umpiring is another decision. Adell also had a pretty good game. I don't know if I'm ready to trust Adell yet. He's been too on and off over the last few seasons. But I think he's got plate appearances. He's got raw talent. He's got 3 home runs and 5 steals so far this season. Oh God. Yeah. I mean, he's playing. I might be talking myself into a bid.
He's been great. He has the 361 XBA. He's only striking. Last year, he struck out 40% of the time. The year before that, 37%. This year, only 21.6. So I agree with Doc's take. He doesn't know what he's doing on the base pass. And I don't know how you play baseball that long and not really have any idea of what you're doing. But, I mean, he's batting 327, 3 homers, 5 stolen bases, and the Angels are terrible. They're playing him almost every single day.
I mean, that's the thing. They are going to play him. I'm just shaking my head that he doesn't know how to run bases.
Dude, he's barreling the ball 14.3% of the time.
This might be the best stretch of Joe Adell's career. Maybe he's a sell high for the Angels
in
real life.
It's undeniably the best stretch of his career.
About time. We've trashed you enough, Joe Adell.
Yeah, and projections are starting to pick up on him. Like, there's some of them are starting to give him like 15 home runs for the rest of the season. Where if he's going to get full time run, because they're pussyfooting around with his games played for the rest of the season. They don't want to be bold.
I've never heard that term before, but I love it.
Yeah. They don't want to be bold.
Pussyfooting. I think I've heard that.
Yeah. They don't want to be bold and say, oh, he's going to get 110, 115 games from this point on. They're like, we'll give him 74 games, where it's like, what are you saying? He's going to get injured? Like, what is this? You have him like, I think if he's playing, and he's healthy, and this might be a full season, like 130, 140 game season for him, where he gets a full chance to play. In which case, 20 home runs is reasonable with some speed. Yeah, I think he's a reasonable speed play as well.
He could be. And just to finish out the segment tonight, for those that do weekly leagues, Fab is going on. If there's anybody that you're looking to throw money on, I'm going to put my stamp out for him again. I picked him up for $7 last week. No runner-up bids. Justin Slayton for the Red Sox, decimated by injuries. Might not be a lot of blowouts for them, so close games. I want to put this out now. The Red Sox are up 2-0 on the Cubs. It will be interesting to see if there's a save situation if it's Slayton. I wouldn't be surprised if Kenley Jansen gets moved, but even if he doesn't, a 0.55 ERA, a 0.49 whip. You can't go wrong helping your ratios.
All right, looking at a couple of guys that I'm thinking of. Let's start with Joe Adell. Okay, I'm going to throw $8 to $12. Hopefully no one in my any of my leagues are listening.
Glarv, come here.
Probably more now. But I got to give the people, I got to tell the people what I think. So somewhere around there, if you're really buying into that barrel percentage and the speed speed's in the 90th percentile. So all the tools are there. Tools are there. So we'll see. Simeon Woods Richardson, he's going at the Chicago White Sox. I think, in a larger team league, maybe a cheeky cheeky $8, $12 might be able to get you him. And Pete Crow Armstrong is another guy. I think he's not rostered anywhere as far as NFBC goes. So I think he hit a home run his first at bat. He's until further notice with Suzuki and Bellinger, who we talked about a lot, they're out. So they're going to need his bat as much as possible. I think I'd probably spend somewhere around $30 on him. Art, I want to hear kind of what you're our Cubs fan, man. What do you think?
I think, yeah, Pete's he's a really good defensive player, and he's going to be playing against righties. They'll probably be playing Alexander Canarium against lefties. When he's ready, I think he might be a decent player when he's ready. But Pete, I think he's going to get a lot of playing time in center field. He wasn't hitting well in the minor leagues this season. Only had a 4% walk rate with 29% K rate. But he has that one home run. It was his first hit, and he's hitting pretty well, 4-for-10 on the season so far. I wouldn't put that much on him. I don't think he's going to be a great.
What would be the most you'd put on him in a 15 team league? And you need an outfielder.
Because I don't think – I think he's going back down when they're healthy. So I'd go, 17. Yeah. Give it a crooked number. Give it a weird number on the second, but in the teens.
All right. Now I'm thinking more maybe 11, $13.
This is why we're here. We're bouncing ideas off of each other.
That's good to know. Good. Yeah, I'm glad we're talking it out. Mike Talkman. Who would you rather have right now?
Talkman.
Doc?
Talkman.
Okay. And then Brandon Lowe, if anybody dropped him, I think you could stash him at this point. I don't think
is he close to coming back?
I don't have a completely updated. Let me see. And while I do that, another guy I'm looking at is also Bailey Falter. Because of the two-step that we talked about earlier. I think, to get those ratios, I think that'll be good for you. Now I'm going to send out, I'm going to do a couple pitchers. I want to know which one of you guys maybe are thinking about. Simeon Woods Richardson. Anybody at White Sox?
No. Didn't impress me last night. The K's were there, but didn't impress me overall with his performance. And I think they see him better the second time.
Art?
I think you attack the White Sox until they've proven that they're better. So I'd keep attacking them. Yeah.
What about Kenta Maeda?
No.
Be versus the Cardinals at the Yankees.
Nope.
If anybody, are you picking them up? Or are you putting any money on them in FAP?
Looks awful.
The Yankees, he had a decent last start. I think he rebounded in his last start pretty well.
Going 5 innings.
Yeah, but I think he gave up one earned run. Is it 5 innings, one earned run? With what'd he do? I remember it was a good start. I don't remember.
Kenta Maeda has 17 strikeouts in 22.2 innings this year.
Kenta Maeda is a guy who I think is a good pitcher who's not pitching well. He's droppable, but
I'm staying away from guys that could potentially kill your ratios.
I think the Yankees is a little bit scary, too scary on that to start. I would throw him out against the Cardinals, but the Yankees just are scary.
All right. So Kenta Maeda versus the Cardinals, but not against the Yankees. Sounds good there. Here's a couple outfielders, Jesus Sanchez, Parker Meadows, either of those two guys? Are any two buying back into Parker Meadows? Maybe he's able to turn around, or Jesus Sanchez. He's got a couple stolen bases, got a couple home runs. What do you think, Art?
I prefer Meadows still to that one, because I think Meadows is still getting everyday playing time for the most part.
Most of it at this point. Matt Vierling's kind of turning around. He just finally increased his launch angle to 14% and hit a home run. See what happens when you don't barrel the ball into the ground. For his gloves keeping Parker Meadows into the game almost every day.
I was watching when he got a home run robbed from him last week, and I felt bad for him.
You felt bad for me that he's on my Glarf team.
And I think Meadows, I'd prefer him because of his plate appearances, and I think he's going to turn it around. But I like Sanchez as like a bench streaming bat on some of my teams. Just because he doesn't play against lefties very much.
Yeah. Jesus Sanchez is better statistically this year. 219 to 079, both two homers. Jesus Sanchez has one more stolen base. But I think Jesus Sanchez has regressed a lot. He used to be somebody that, had a little bit more power. I think now he's stealing more bases than he was before. I think Detroit is going to turn around a little bit offensively. I mean, Spencer Torkelson has to get going at some point. I think Detroit has outperformed expectations in terms of record-wise, and Marty, you would know better than I have, but I think they're hitting could be better, and it's been their pitching that's carried them so far.
Yeah, absolutely. The pitching's been outstanding.
The update on Brandon Lowe, at least what I saw, 5 days ago, he started to swing a bat from his oblique issue.
Okay, that's a good sign. So yeah, maybe they probably give him a few days of rehab, going down to the minors and then coming back up. So maybe a couple weeks away still. So maybe $5. Kind of just try to, if you need a middle infielder in a couple weeks. Yeah, I don't know who's able to pick up IL guys.
I would say put two.
$2.
They haven't given, because he was hitting 185 before the injury.
Yeah, so. Struggling. But that's kind of his, MO. He goes up and down, but the power is typically still there. It hasn't been there yet. Are we buying into Justin Lawrence as the Colorado Rocky closer?
I don't want any Rocky closer.
I kind of lean with Doc on this one. Who else has been good in their bullpen? Has Lawrence even been good? I dropped him where I had him in one place.
Where did you, how big was the team that you dropped him in?
It was a 15 team league, and I had a lot of depth at relief pitching at that.
I'm taking a look at his stats. So far on the year, and he's only pitched 9.2 innings, but he has a 3.35 xERA, mm-hmm. which is obviously a lot better than his 5.59 ERA. Strikeout percentage is pretty much around league average, 23.3%. He walks guys, at below average as well. But what he really does well is limiting hard contact. So you got to ask yourself, is he able to do that in the hardest ballpark? On a team that's not that good, who's not going to get that many save chances. He has two on the year. He had 11 last year. To answer your – Tyler McKinney was the only other guy in the bullpen that could have been, maybe took that spot. He got injured, and then he hasn't recovered since. So right now, Lawrence is the guy. I think he'll be used mostly in high leverage situations. That's what they've deployed him out. I'd say 80% of the time, seventh, eighth inning. But he is, if they need a closer for the day, he's going to be the guy to be chosen. Now, to Doc's point, that could really screw up his ERA.
The Jekyll and Hyde of Justin Lawrence, his ERA, he's pitched two games and he's given up runs in two of them. And one was his second outing against the year against the Rays, 0.1 innings, 5 hits, 4 earned. So that's the Jekyll. The Hyde, he's only had one appearance where he hasn't allowed a base runner, and that was the most recent game against the Padres. The other previous 9 outings, he's allowed at least one hit or one walk. That scares me a little bit as a closer. If I don't feel like there's upside or consistency that you can get a 1-2-3 inning, even limiting hard contact, that to me is going to kind of push me away a little bit. And I think if you really need saves, I would take a dart throw on him, and maybe you play him when he's outside of cores just to limit that. Both times he has given up runs this year have been in cores. So that might be something to notice. He's a better road pitcher than home pitcher.
He's 2-for-2 in save opportunities. But like his 8 other games are non-save opportunities. And I think maybe he's, and this is me playing armchair, like maybe he's the type of guy who can mentally be more there for a save chance. And he's, but like, yeah, if you need saves, I would pick him up. If you need saves, he's going to get their saves, but 15 to 20 of them on the season.
So, in a 15 team league, you would advise picking Justin Lawrence up. How much would you spend on him tonight in Fab if he's available? And do it for a 12 team, because I think in most 15 teams he's rostered in most 15 team leagues. 12 team, all right. I know you're in a few for the OC and everything.
I think because I find closers to be one of the wider variants of bid ranges. Some people, you just don't time it right. You think it might not be that aggressive and someone goes way aggressive on you. And other times you're like, this is definitely a closer. I got to be aggressive and no one else is with you on that bid. He'd be one that I'd be mildly aggressive on. I think, especially if I was like out, I'm still waiting on like Duran to come back. And, I haven't been able to piece together like a second or a third closer. I'd pick him up. I'd probably do 30 something dollars
out of 1,000.
Yeah.
Okay. So about 3% somewhere around there.
Yeah. Just because I don't think he's like, I think he's going to, as we just discussed, he's going to get the opportunities, but the other performances he has are going to be rough.
All right. That rounds it up for a fact. Yeah. Good luck, guys. It closes, guys and gals and everybody else. 10 PM. Can we, here's it real quick. I know we're over, but can we push it back to midnight? Like the fab time, the 10 o'clock fab time is outrageous. And everyone's talking about it in their GLARF. Some people like it. Some people don't. 10 PM is way too early, especially if you're on the West Coast. I don't know how they do fab.
So you got to tell me, they talk about it in GLARF. GLARF is supposed to run at midnight.
Yes.
Switched it back to midnight again?
Without naming names or going too far into it, let's just say it's been asked and we've been told for tech reasons it's too difficult. Why wasn't it difficult the other 4 years? I don't know. Maybe because
they don't want to make the exception. Yeah.
Oh, man, this might be where we have to end the pod. All right, yeah. we're going down the rabbit hole. We don't want to go down on airwaves.
But my whole point of that, let's push it to them. If anybody who has a voice, please push it to midnight. There's no reason not to.
I'm with that. At least 11 o'clock is, speaking of someone that has 90 minutes left and hasn't looked at it at all. But
for procrastinators LC, among us, we LC, just started at 11:30.
LC, I'm giving you a logo here. For LC, for Marty Party, for Doc, D Mendy's not here. We're going to make like a bread truck, haul these buns. We'll catch you guys next week. Good luck in week 6, and we'll see you soon.
See ya.